What's going on, everybody? It's be your boy
DJ Anonymous
with another episode of Sports Biz Music, the podcast. And I know I've been off with the episode, so I believe this is 149. And I got a special guest in the show today. I got my boy DJ TKO. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing,
man? I'm doing all right on a Thursday night, just chilling with the family and stuff, and you know, grinding. You know how that is.
Yo, thank you for having me, fam. I appreciate it.
Nah, thank you for, you know, coming on the show. You know, like I said before we recorded the show, I know, you know, a lot of people, especially yourself, you know, especially as a DJ, you know, you have a lot of things going on. And, you know, I'm very, you know, I appreciate that you're taking up this time, you know, to come on the show, you know, and, you know, just share your, you know, your career, your DJ career, your, like, your experiences and advice and whatnot.
Yeah, I got a lot of it, too. I've been putting in that work, man.
So before we get into the podcast, tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Man, I'm DJ TKO. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, by the way, in Birmingham, Alabama. And I'm a mixtape DJ. I produce and DJ for Tough Love podcast on 97.9 The Plug Radio. That's Freaky Zeke's radio station, Dipset. I'm part of 730 Dips DJs. I put out countless of many mixtapes. I did the White Tee mixtape with Gerard Mixon and Jamal Mixon from Nutty Professor. I did a White Tee mixtape for them. I did work with Interscope Records. I used to be with Rough Riders. I've just been putting in that work, man. Putting in that, you know.
You used to be with Rough Riders?
Yeah. I was on Rough Riders Radio for like 3 years.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. I've been putting in that work, man.
So
working.
So before we, you know, dig deep in your, you know, your career and your experiences, what made you want to DJ?
Yo, actually, my pops was a DJ.
Okay.
And one night, I was chilling with my homeboys, and, you know, I think I was like 19 or so. We was all chilling, you know, kicking it. And out the blue, I was like, yo, I'm going to become a DJ. And all my boys looked at me like, dog, stop playing. You ain't going to become no DJ. Like, you know what I'm saying? But they didn't know that my pops was a DJ already because I never told nobody, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I just followed my pops' footsteps, man. And I end up going out to New York, out to Scratch Academy, that Jam Master Jay was like founder of it. And I got up under his wing, man, and you know what I'm saying? And I was like, yo, and I seen an avenue with the mixtapes because like there wasn't a lot of mixtape DJs here in Massachusetts. So I seen the lane and I was like, yo, I'm just going to be like, you know, mixtape DJ. And that's what I did. I got with my homeboy Strong and, you know, so he helped me, you know, like as far as like the formula of how to put the mixtapes together. And he helped me out with that. And ever since then, yo, it's been off with the races. So I'm like, going to 100. Yeah.
So, you know, as a mixtape DJ, especially back in them days, it was only a handful of DJs that was actually doing it, like Clue. I think, who else? It was Kay Slay. He had a couple of mixtapes.
Yeah, Kay Slay.
And I think Green Lantern too, right?
Yeah, Ron G.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the ones that were from like down south. I just know the ones that was kind of up here where I was at.
Nah, Green Lantern, I think he's from up north.
Yeah, Green Lantern. Drama was doing his thing. Yeah.
And it took me, and Drama is my favorite, because that's when I came in the game. I was more of a mixtape DJ. And I was studying, you know, DJ Drama. And I didn't even know he was from, you know, Philadelphia until I started really hearing his accent. I'm like, yeah, he from up north somewhere. But, yeah, you know, because he went to school down here, you know, he was around the culture. So, you know, he took advantage of that. But that's what's up, though. But how was that during them times, you know, as a mixtape DJ, like in the late 90s, early 2000s? Like, how was that?
When I popped up, it was like around like 2005.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you was in the prime of DJ, the mixtapes.
Yeah. When I popped, I put like 5,000 mixtapes out in New York City and shit. I put 1,000 out in each borough. I made Mixtape Monday.
Damn.
So it was pretty good. Then after that, I linked up with Coast to Coast Mixtape DJs.
Mm.
I was doing a lot of stuff over there. And dog, that was like the golden era. When you had a mix, I mean, I used to like when people would drive down the street, like, yo, T, when you dropping another one, you're playing your music. You know? I used to hit the bodega spots, you know, just have my shit up in there. Oh, my bad, I don't know if I can cuss on here or not.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, it's a podcast.
Okay, but yeah, so I had my mixtapes in the bodegas everywhere, man. I was putting it out. And then, you know what? So I went from the mixtapes. I was like, yo, I want to learn how to make beats. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I messed around and got an MPC. And then I decided, you know what I'm saying, just making beats, you know, trying to develop my style.
Yeah, I know it's hard as hell. For me, it was hard as hell. It's very time-consuming.
Yeah. Put it in work. But see, what happened, I've seen this. I went to an Akon show.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, because I I'll pay to go to the shows to get next to somebody. You know what I'm saying? Just to, you know, for networking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never have a problem paying to get somewhere where I feel like it's going to benefit me.
Right.
So I went in there. I met up with Akon's DJ, Benny D. You know, and Benny D was the one that taught me, like, how to use the MPC. Like, over the phone, he was like, yo, T, this is what you do, blah, 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 this and that.
And that was before YouTube even came out and all that, too.
Yeah, that was before YouTube, everything, yeah. And then I started making beats for, like, you know, say my homeboys and stuff like that.
Mm.
But I really didn't take it as serious like that. I was far more, I was like, you know what I'm saying, my shit was DJing, like, you know. But I was like, yo, in this music industry, you gotta wear different hats.
Yeah, you do.
So I was like, yo, let me try to make beats, you know what I'm saying? And then some people was filling my beats around where I stayed, so I was just like, yo, you know, charging a little, you know, a couple bucks or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, so I was, yeah, so that's how I started, like, making beats and shit.
So do you still make beats to this day?
Yeah, I still make beats. Yeah. I still be making beats. I actually made a beat for DMX.
God rest his soul.
Yeah, God rest his soul. R.I.P. X. Yeah, because when I was a rough friend of my homeboy Sincere, you know, so I used to send my beats over there. And, you know, one day he called me out the blue, like, yo, X is stealing one of your beats. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 this and that. As a matter of fact, that was right when X had came home. And, you know, man, I was super amped. You know what I'm saying? I ain't never, you know, I was amped to the motherfucker, like, X stealing my beat. But, you know, I don't know if he was going to use it or not, you know what I'm saying, but I would never know that, but yeah.
So speaking of DMX and the Rough Riders, like, how was that experience? Like, was you starstruck at the time? Like, how did that even come together?
Nah, yo, actually, one of my DJ homies had hit me up, and he was like, yo, you know what I'm saying, they got an opportunity over at Rough Riders. For the radio station, blah, 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 this is something you think you want to be interested in? I was like, hell yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, Rough Riders, like, the Locks, X, Swiss, you know what I'm saying? I was like, hell yeah, I want to. So I was like, yo, but then I was like, you know what? Let me get my foot in the door as a DJ, and then let me try to come with the beat and shit,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's how I did it. I was like, yo, let me do the DJ. And, like I said, I was over there for like 3 years, man. Shout out to Sincere, everybody that Rough Riders Radio. Nothing but love, man. Real talk.
And being a radio DJ at that time, I was just speaking to a DJ last night in in another episode, Pat, last night episode, you from Miami, and we was talking about how, you know, shout out to DJ Root Boy. We was talking about how, like, growing up, how the radio was very, very different. You know, I just turned 30 years old, so, you know, in my generation, we grew up where, you know, you could hear different sounds like DMX. You know, he was from New York. You know, Jay-Z, Fat Joe, Nas. You know, all of them. Then West Coast, you had Dre, Cube, The Game. And then of course down south. But even down south, you could tell, oh, he's from Florida, or he's from Mississippi, or he's from Texas or Alabama or the Carolinas.
Yeah, and everybody had their own style.
Yeah. Like even
and with, their own sound.
Yeah, like each state had their own sound, yeah. Like even back in the day.
Yeah. Now it's kind of hard. Like I was listening to somebody the other day and I thought it was one rapper and they was like, nah, this is such and such. I'm like, oh, okay.
It's crazy.
To me, they all sound the same right now.
It's crazy. But like being a radio DJ at the time, like, well, you still is a radio DJ, right?
So yeah.
From that, I'm talking about at that time in that era, like, how was it? Like, how's different from that era and today?
Because, like I said, everybody had their sound, you know what I'm saying? And everybody was spitting, like, everybody, and it was lyrics. Even like, the club songs, they were spitting, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? It was something you can get out of the song, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, to me, everybody had their own style. Like right now, I feel like, yo, everybody, it's like, everybody sounds the same.
Yeah, like,
there's no originality no more. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like how you said, like, West Coast, we knew from the beat, that's the West Coast, you know what I'm saying? Or down south, you know what I'm saying? Like, or Midwest, when Nelly was doing his thing, or when they was doing their thing over there, you know, other people, you know. Everybody was unique.
But very unique. Like, it was...
Everybody was unique. And, like, and you couldn't say... You know, back then, you couldn't even sound like somebody.
Mm-mm. Because they're, like, I remember...
Like, they'll be kind of, like, disrespected.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to remember. I remember Gorilla Black. Gorilla Black, he was from the West Coast, sounds just like Biggie. And he couldn't, at the time, he was a dope artist. He could rap, but he sounds so much like Biggie. Like, I always say certain artists from that era could have survived in this era because everybody already sounded the same anyway, you know? Yeah. So it's like, not everybody, but I say probably like 85 to 90% of the music industry as a whole, especially in hip hop, that y'all sound the same. So, coming from, you know, Birmingham and pretty much having your career up in up north, remember during the time it was a lot of, you know, I don't want to say beef, but it was a lot of stuff going on where at one point the East Coast was kind of, it wasn't dead to me. It was just. It wasn't as high as it used to be in the 90s and early 2000s. And the South was, you know, coming up. You know, around that time, you had the Little Flips. You had the Khaled's. You had the Trick Daddies. You had the whole Crump, the whole Crump movement.
Little John and them.
Yeah, Little John and them. And then, like, even if you, you know, like I said, in my generation, like, for example, A$AP Rocky and them, you know, they had that New York sound, that New York, you know, that voice, but their music was so influenced by Memphis and Houston, you know, the Houston and Memphis sound. So how was it at the time, you know, as a DJ, were especially, you know, you working your main workplace was up north, like, did people try to not let you play like southern tracks, or it was just whatever at the time?
Yo, actually with me, like, a lot of people said, like, yo, T is not a biased dude.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like me, you know, if it's hot, I'm a player. You know what I'm saying? DJ TKO, AKA I break records. Like, that. I live by that. Like, I don't care where you're from.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? it can't, you know, as a DJ, I feel like that's what we're supposed to do, break records. Right. And if a song is hot, it doesn't matter what region it is, you know? I can't be biased and be like, oh, I'm just going to play up north. Like, so a lot of people, and these are different rappers, too, they be like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Nah, he ain't a biased dude. It ain't just going to be a whole East Coast, you know what I'm saying, set that he's going to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, I'll never, ever deny a hot record. Like, nah, I've never been like that.
That's good.
So nobody has never came up to me and said that. Like, oh, just play this. See, they be like, yo, T, play what you want to play. That's what they be telling. Yo, T, play what you want to play.
Nah, that's good, because I remember I was young. I was like middle school, going to high school at the time, and when I started like DJing and started networking, you know, with everybody from all over. I'm talking about from Jersey, New York, you know, out west, you know, of course, all different parts of the South. And you know, I should hear a different mix, you know, reaction of like a person from up north, you know, at that time, you know, they wasn't really, you know, with it with Southern, you know, rappers. And it was in reverse too. Like, even down here, it came to a point where nobody wasn't listening to, I guess, because Nas came out with that Hip Hop Is Dead album, and a lot of people fell away. I'm like, man, I still listen to Nas. Nas is one of my favorite rappers of all time. You know,
me too. Like, he up top five. Like, but see, I think with me, it's because I was from down south.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But, and I just happened to come up here. So, you know what I'm saying? So I'm always gonna have that love for down south music. You know what I mean?
Right.
So everywhere I went, yo, yeah, yo, I'm from Alabama. Like, I used to always say that.
And they still call you country to this day.
Oh yeah, of course, man. Because
I can hear like Charlamagne the God. I can hear like the, you know, you became more East Coast influenced, but you still sound like you from down here. You feel me?
And yeah, there. Yeah.
Because it's like that too. When New Yorkers come down here to Florida, you know, they move down, and then when they go back up, they family call them country and stuff because certain stuff that we say down here.
Yeah. Like my boy Q, man, my DJ the Kid Quest, one of my best friends and shit.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yo, T, you ain't nothing but a country nigga up north. I said, yeah, you right, man. That's it. Ain't shit changed, nigga.
So, but how was that? Was that a culture shock when you moved from Birmingham to the East Coast?
Dog, you know how, yo, like, now you know down in Bama, just black folks, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when I came up here and I seen like the Spanish cat, like my color, but speaking Spanish, son, I was like, yo, what the hell is this? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they talking Spanish, you know what I'm saying? I was like, oh shit, like, I wasn't used to that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I was like, oh, snap. Like, yo, this, my man, darker than me, son, speaking all Spanish. So that was like one of the only, and then, you know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't have like the sub shops the way they got it up here, you know what I'm saying? Like, on every corner. So that was kind of like, I was like, damn, son. Oh, and then another thing, son, when the kids were coming, like, we outside playing, right?
Right.
But they're like, nah, we got to go home for lunch. I'm like, what? What the fuck you talking about, lunch? Yeah, we got to go home. It's 12 o'clock noon. We got to go inside for lunch. I'm like, shit, the only thing we had was free lunch at the damn school, but niggas weren't really going to that.
Hell yeah, because I was...
You know what I'm saying?
Because I was even thinking about that, you know, even down here in Miami, like, when we was outside, you know, grandma, exactly, moms to bring out the food. Real.
Yeah, like shit. Hey, I'm outside until the streetlights came on. You feel like? Well, mom's like, yo, don't let those streetlights come on before you come in the house. Like, that's the type of time I was on. But like, yeah. So, oh yeah, man. Like, that was like, I was like, what the hell? So but that's about it though.
And so you being the mixtape DJ, do you ever think that mixtapes will come back? Like, as far as like, have that same impact like it did. Wow.
I
like
mean,
10,
yo, it's still a,
15
it's,
years
yo,
ago.
It's still a lot of us out there, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just got nominated for best mixtape series.
With oh, shit. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm going to be down in Miami. I mean, not Miami, my bad. I'm going to be down in Biloxi, Mississippi next month for the Southern Entertainment Awards. Me and my boy, DJ Infamous Ace, used to be Games DJ. Me and him got nominated together for Best Mixtape Series, Street Radar. So, yeah, man, I mean, you know what I'm saying? We still, I mean, it's out there. And actually, actually, it's a long, like the nomination is long. It's a lot of DJs.
So much DJs.
Yeah, that still be doing the mixtape. So, I mean, like, yeah. I mean, it's more like underground now, but it's still there. I mean, I hope it will come back the way it used to, but if it don't, I'm still going to be doing what I do.
Yeah, because the reason why I ask is because I feel like, one, you know, I have a bold prediction. I do feel like, you know, mixtapes is going to come back because of the fact that it's getting to a point where a lot of artists, you know, as a consumer side, I'm like, streaming is cool, like music, like streaming your music and stuff is cool. But artists are starting to realize that, you know, they're not making as much money. Especially on the first week.
Yeah.
And what mixtapes did was, not only you was getting paid more, but you was the marketing was crazy. And it wasn't like, it wasn't too expensive. It was pretty much, you had 15 to 30 songs. The songs wasn't even that long. It was probably like 2 minutes a song with a couple skits and stuff. And you pretty much, you know, you sold them mixtapes for like $5, $10, $15, and it was like free marketing in a way, and
exactly. Then like me, I feel like with the mixtapes, like us DJs that was doing it, you know, and the DJs that were doing it on a bigger scale, like, yo, we have our ear to the street, like we know it's hot, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, dog, if drama ones are playing and something, you know it ain't hot. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, that's how we, dog, yo, mixtape DJs have broke a lot of artists, dog. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when 50 started, what he did? When with Hookah, they started doing a mixtape.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, it's definitely a lane for it.
Yeah. And
you know, like right now, I'm doing a mixtape with Benny the Butcher's artist.
Oh, shit. What's his name?
Frego Bass, my homeboy. I was just with him in Connecticut. You know, I said, yo, Frego, let me do the best of Frego Bass. So I'm about to drop that next week.
Man, I got where you drop your mixtapes at?
I put it on mymixtape.com. I have it on authorab.com. I got it on spinrilla.com. I didn't have it on thatpiff.com, but I think they closed everybody's account or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, thatpiff kind of. I had my mixtapes on there too. They kind of like off now. Like with my mixtapes and Spinrilla, and plus my mixtapes and Spinrilla, you know, their platforms is much more easier now. Like it's more up to date.
Yeah, remember back in the day, you really couldn't mess with it like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think
you know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
And I think with that Piff, and that Piff now, you know. For a long time, you know, they was the number one, you know, place to go for mixtapes, but they haven't updated their stuff, seem like, since the early 2010s, you know?
Yeah. And, like now, I really mess with Off the Ave. I mean, it's not really a high, I mean, it's kind of high, it's not that high of a traffic, but I feel like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like it's my own because not a lot of DJs was on that set, so I felt like that was my little, you know what I'm saying, my own little shit that I was doing over there, helping the dude, you know what I'm saying, as far as bringing traffic to the site and shit like that.
Right.
Like, I'm all about networking, man. Like, you know what I'm saying, like, one hand washes the other, man.
Right, and you know, when I first started DJing, I did classify as a mixtape DJ because, you know, I was doing mixtapes, and people don't realize that being a mixtape DJ is a cheat code because you network with so many artists and labels, and A&Rs, it's crazy. And then, like, once you build in relationships, you start being around, like, DJ pools. And remember back in them days, they didn't have DJ pools like they did now. You had if you had got the email from Def Jam or somewhere, Like, that means they was paying attention to you. Like, they added you to their, you know, stuff.
Yeah, to the mailing list.
Yeah, yeah, to the mailing list. Now it's like, you know, you can go on any website and get any song, and or almost any song, and, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's and become, then, like, you know, so you know, because you said you did the mix. So now, imagine how hard it was to get a drop from an artist.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. You feel me?
It was so hard, like,
yeah.
It was like, I'm gonna tell my story a little bit. So
yeah, go ahead.
When I first started DJing, I don't know what it was. You know, it was MySpace back in them days. MySpace started. We didn't even have SoundCloud yet. I think it was, what was it called? It was SoundClick or something like that.
I don't even know, because I really wasn't on them like that. I was just hitting up. I was just on that piff like that. That piff, yeah. Oh no, that crack.
Yeah, that crack. Yeah, yeah, that crack, yeah. That
crack, yeah. I was on there, yeah.
That was the crack. Original too, so.
Yeah,
Before, you know, SoundCloud and all that stuff, I was on MySpace. Like, literally, like, I used to play football too in high school, so during the summers, okay. I wake up early, you know, go work out for like 3 hours, I come back to the crib, I eat my breakfast, and then I'm on MySpace all day just adding different artists from Florida, from everywhere. Yeah. And then one day I was like, you know what, let me start a mixtape series. Then I started from doing the local to, like, doing the nationally and stuff. And I just met, like, one of the, you know, a few dope, you know, artists, you know, along the way. And I tell people all the time, like, at that time, being a mixtape DJ, either if you was like one of the best, like well known, or even if you was just coming up, we had so much respect because we knew so many people. And just because we knew so many people, the promoters, you know, they was at our feet, like, hey, you know, yeah, I see this, you work with such and such. And that's when, you know, everything was just, you know, much, much easier for us. Then we went through a period where a lot of artists, you know, I guess when streaming started to come up, they ain't appreciate us no more.
You're right.
And I know you
right.
went through that, you know, head first.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
And I wanted to know, when that happened, was you on the verge of quitting as a mixtape DJ, or you just kept pushing?
Dog, I pushed through, man. I was never quit, dog. Nah, man. Like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
I did fall, like, you know what I'm saying, like, I fell off course for a little bit, but that was because of me, you know what I'm saying, I was going through something, you know, personal. But my bounce back game was crazy, though.
Yeah, man.
My boy, because I was going through some personal, then one day my boy hit me up. He was like, yo, T, you know, he said, drop your mixtapes again. And I was like, nah. I was like, son, you come up with the names, then I'll drop the mixtapes. And that's when he came up with Up the Streets Up.
Okay, and now okay.
I think I'm on volume 19 right now.
Oh, shit. So you've been working.
Yeah. I already dropped like 4 mixtapes. I dropped 4 mixtapes this year already.
Man, speaking of that, hold on. That's when I was talking about that too. I also wanted to ask you this question: the pandemic, and I think this is because around this before the pandemic started, I actually wanted to, you know, start DJing again. Because every time I had an interview with an artist or even another DJ, you know, I get kind of motivated. Like you right now, you motivating me to get back DJing because it's like it's still. The art is still there, especially, you know, dropping mixtapes and stuff. Me personally, I thought it was not dead, but I thought it was just people didn't appreciate it as much, you know, more.
Nah, they still do, fam. I'm telling you, just get with the right people, dog. They still do. Yo, when I went to Bama,
mm-hmm.
yo, they were still selling mixtapes in the stores, fam. I was like, damn, so that right there let you know they still appreciate it.
Yeah, man. So,
They still rocking.
Yeah, because it's like at a point, I was like, man, I'm finna start doing this. I'm finna start, cause actually, before I even like completely stopped DJing, I did have a shout out to Valona Denise. She from New Jersey. She from Trenton, New Jersey, Brick City. Me and her came out with a mixtape together called New Era Mixtapes, and I think we was on volume 4 or 5 when we stopped. And yeah. I wanted like to keep going. So what happened was, I'm like, let's just do it. I get 5 artists from down here. You get 5 artists, you know, from Jersey, and then we could do that again. But what happened was the pandemic came, and then all of a sudden everybody became a DJ. For me, it kind of like just discouraged me a little bit. I'm like, damn, bro. Like,
now when the pandemic hit, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell you, the pandemic hit. That's when I went hard with my beats.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's when I was like, yo, everybody just sitting at home. Let me just go on my Facebook, Instagram. Let me just post all my beats every day. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, because people was becoming rappers too.
Huh?
People were starting to rap and sing and stuff too. It was like crazy for music.
Yeah, but see, this the dude, my boy Gator from Mississippi had hit me. Right. My boy Gator from Gator Boys had hit me. He's like, yo, T, I like that beat. So he ended up doing the beat with Tito Lopez, you know, Organized Sound. I think he's Organized Sound artist. You know, that's Organized Sound is the one that did the beats with Outkast.
Yeah,
so I got that. Yeah, I still got that. We just ain't even put it out yet. But I've been sitting on that. I've been sitting on that song since probably 2021 or some shit like that. 2021. Mm. But the pandemic was the pandemic helped that. And then I did a beat for he's a Leo, Pimp C's artist out there in Texas.
Mm.
And that's because he was sitting with the pandemic. So when the people, so that's what I did. Like I just went at, I went hard with the beats at that time.
Did you think, as a DJ, did you think that hurt, or did you think that it hurt like the craft of a DJ? Like, it didn't matter if you was a mixtape DJ, club DJ, radio DJ, etc. Like, do you think it hurt the art of it, or did it kind of give some type of appreciation to the art?
What do you mean?
Like, during the pandemic, remember I told you, like, it was people.
Oh, yeah, that hurt, yeah. Yeah, because it wasn't even really moving like that. Like, you know, but you know what? Because we wasn't even thinking about the switch. I mean, the switch and all that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They did it live. But, you know, we wasn't really thinking about that. Or the clubhouse and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Or the sites. Like, nobody was thinking about that.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm like, damn.
Doing the live mixing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, like,
yeah, nobody was really thinking about it. Yeah, that did hurt us, though, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, I'm not throwing no shots, because at the end of the day, if that craft got you some money, then that's all I care at the end of the day. But my thing is, you know, you also got to respect it at the end of the day, too, as well. Like,
yeah.
It's like, you know, even with music, people think, you know, they could just pick up a pen and write, and then they just record a song and, oh, snap, I made money in this and that. Like, that's cool. But at the end of the day, you also got to respect the craft. You got to respect the art, because I think that's what actually hurt the game right now, is because
they ain't respecting it.
Yeah, they're not respecting it enough. Like, going back to, you know, earlier, you know, in the 2000s, the 90s, the 80s, even in the beginning of the 2010s, music was at its height, because everybody was still different. Everybody respected the craft. Everybody wasn't trying to get that quick bag, because at the end of the day, if you had your own identity, you was cool. But nowadays, it's like, for example, why the hell I'm listening to drill music from a New York artist? And that hurt my feelings, because
dog, you already know. Yeah, dog. I don't even want to talk about it, dog. I was like,
Because with me being from the South, I'm like, you know, I love my Southern music, but when I look for a New York artist, I look for that conscious rap, that.
Yeah.
Like
if we listen to down South, we know what we're going to hear.
Yeah.
When we listen to down South. When you hear New York or East Coast, you want to hear that East Coast sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we listen to West Coast, we want to hear that West Coast sound.
Exactly.
Midwest. Like, that's how it's supposed to be.
And it's like some people, some people do blame Drake, but I'm not gonna lie, I did at first, but I'm like, you can't blame an artist like Drake, because at the end of the day, Drake is one of the few artists, like a Tory Lanez, where they could mimic other sounds, but it would sound good. They'll still sound different. Because they're using they flow, and then they gotta understand too. Like Drake, you know, he was born in Canada, but his old boy, you know, he from Memphis, and then Tory Lanez, you know, he was born in Canada, but he moved down to Miami, then he went to Atlanta, then he came back to Miami, then he moved to New York, so he know as much flows than most people. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, not everybody is that. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's, I don't know.
I dig what you're saying. But just like there's a Drake and Tory Lanez,
mm-hmm.
and they made their own lane, I feel like, I'm speaking for the upcoming rapper that might listen to this podcast. Be unique, have your own sound. It's going to take you farther than sounding like someone else that's already out.
Yes.
Yeah, you might get the bag or whatever, but to real fans and to real people of this music, you might not get that respect like that though.
Yeah, because
you know what I'm saying, like real talk, like you might, you know what I'm saying, you will get the bag probably, but at the end of the day, you might not get the respect. Like, they ain't gonna put you in that top five when they're saying who the top five. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like such and such. You know what I'm saying? You don't want that.
At all.
You don't want that. Man. You want to have your own sound.
Exactly, dog. Because I don't even have the drive to even, you know, listen to music like that. Because it's only a few, like, you brought up Benny the Butcher and Griselda. Like, them boys is different. I can listen to them all day, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they sound more NYC than the NYC artists of this era.
Like, yep, exactly. Yeah.
And it's sad, and it's like, but then at the same time, you have young artists that don't appreciate older artists, like Nas, King Disease 1 and 2. I feel like them two albums alone could be considered classics five years from now. But, you know, and this another question I want to ask you too. Do you think streaming helped or hurt the music industry?
I mean, wait, because you don't even get a lot of money for streams, right? Like,
you
know, like
you get like half of a penny or almost a penny.
For a stream, for each stream?
Yeah, like it's like a half a penny or close to a penny or a penny a stream.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. I mean, whatever. I mean, I see a lot of people with these plaques and shit.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you seen that, right?
Yeah, they be having like the plaques and stuff. But
Spotify. But I'm saying those, dog, it was a whole lot of plaques, but I ain't see a whole lot of streaming though.
Yeah, like.
Right.
That's why I'm asking you. Do you think, you know, as a whole, like, do you think that it hurt it? The music industry in terms of
definitely did.
Cause it's like, you know, remember we had albums back in the day.
Like going to the store, getting an album, getting a record,
yeah,
getting a CD.
And
you remember getting that CD and looking through that booklet, son? Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we enjoyed that.
My first album I got was The Ludacris Word of Mouth.
Oh, okay, dope.
And then it was 50 Cent.
Was that DoRichard.com?
Yeah, of course.
Yep.
It was the Eminem Show.
Yep.
What else? I had a whole bunch of albums. Oh, The Love Below. And that album, that whole presentation, that two disc, and the Little Flip, You Gotta Feel Me, and the Black Album. Oh, my God. Like,
yo, imagine you telling somebody that, yo, it was a two disc. Imagine saying that, like, you tell somebody that right now, like, yo, so now they're thinking with a two disc. Like, what?
They
be like, what? What the fuck you talking about two discs? Nah, but that shit was two discs, man.
And, got a couple questions left. So, before I get into that, you a mixtape DJ, you a radio DJ, you do everything, you're a producer. But who's in your top five as far as like mixtape DJs of all time?
Of all time?
Yeah, all time.
I'm gonna have to say.
And you could break it down if you want to, like why the reasons why they in your top
five. I'm gonna give it to Clue.
Okay.
I'm gonna give it to Hoop Kid. I'm gonna give it to Drama. I'm gonna give it to Green Lantern. And who else? And I'll probably say. I'm gonna say myself.
Yes, you can put yourself. I'm gonna say myself.
Yeah,
you got to. You been in the game for a long time. You got all these mixtapes out. You know, you one of the few actually the few DJs that I know that is still, you know, making numbers and still producing and still getting that respect despite having, you know, the streaming era now. So just like, you got to push yourself in the top five because it's hard.
But I'm doing that in the most humble way too.
Yeah.
And grateful, you feel me? But because all those dudes that I named all motivated me at a certain time of my life.
Right.
Yeah,
because DJ Drama, he was mine, and
you know what I'm saying. I got to shout out DJ Khaled because he just got the star.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. You got to shout him out. He's a DJ, and you know what? And a lot of DJs didn't even like post through like, nah, son, respect that man, son, respect that. That's a DJ. That's one of us.
Yeah, DJ Khaled.
We can have our name. Khaled doing that. It's showing us that we can have our name out there, fam. Like, you know what I'm saying.
And a lot of people don't know, Khaled originally from New Orleans, and then I guess when he was younger, he moved down to Florida. And I heard the story, Luke. You know, he was DJing Orlando for a while. Then he came down here to South Florida, and Luke, you know, pretty much, you know, gave him his blessing. And
DJ,
yeah, like he came from doing clubs to being on 99 Jams. And one thing I love about DJ Khaled is that his sound is incredible. Like the way he put together an album, like that was another thing he did. Like, I mean, of course we had people that did it before, like Clue and them, but Khaled took it to another level where you could have a Kanye, a Jay-Z, a Future, a Chris Brown on one track. You could have a Ross, a Andre, a Dr. Dre. You know, I'm just naming it, Rihanna. On it. Like, he could do that. Like, it's the man, you know, hate him or love him, he changed the DJ game. Like, the things that he did, like, he changed it. And it's giving all of us hope, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I was like, yo, big up the Khaled. That's why I see like a lot of, like I was on the Facebook and shit the other yesterday or whatever. I was it yesterday or the day before, and I was like, yo, ain't nobody really posting something like for real.
No, because I seen the news late, and I'm like,
yeah, but I was saying myself, like I was like, yo, I can't go the whole day and not post something. Like, yo, he's a DJ.
Yeah,
that's big, man. That's big.
Real big. And
real.
Where do you see yourself 5 to 10 years from now?
Man, real talk, I can't even think that far ahead, man. Like real talk, I think day by day, fam. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Hey, I'm just trying to make it through this year.
Yeah, I mean, man.
You know what I'm saying? Real talk, because the way this world is, I don't even know. It's crazy out here right now. We living in a crazy time right now.
You know, with the pandemic and
the
war and everything that's going on, inflation. Yep. Like it's a lot going on right now, especially like Trick Daddy. He had an interview the other day with the Breakfast Club, and he was saying the same thing. I was thinking like the housing market is so crazy right now, like mortgages and rent shouldn't be this high, you know?
Yo,
so.
Exactly, man. It's crazy up here right now. Like 3 bedrooms, I think somebody said like a 3 bedroom is almost like $3,200 or
something
like
$3,700.
I'm like, what?
That's crazy. I know
New York. Gas prices too.
Yeah. Like, I know up north, it was kind of more expensive than the south, but I have heard stories like back in the days, like 10 years ago, like you could get a decent condo in New York. You could get a great house up in like Massachusetts, Connecticut, you know,
with
land.
Yeah.
You can't do that now. Even down south right now. Down south, you know, it's high right now. Like,
for real?
All the major cities, Miami, Houston, Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
Charlotte, like, because everybody is either moving down or people, like, let's say, like, I have family members that's moving up to Georgia and stuff like that from Miami or... Shit, even people from Houston moving down here, like, it's everybody moving around. And even in states like, you know, Arizona and Nevada, they starting to be more expensive now because everybody from the East Coast and the South, we moving out that way because it's cheaper. But that's because of this nonsense with inflation, and it's crazy, man. Something got to, like, calm down soon because it can't be like this.
I feel like through God, I just want to just continue to do the beats, continue to do the mixtapes, continue doing the radio. Just, you know what I'm saying? I ain't asking for too much. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, just 5 years is still, you know, try to be in a better position that I am, that I'm in a better, I want to be in a better position that I am in the position that I'm in right now, basically.
Right. You know, as we all.
Yeah, exactly. Just stay motivating people around me, staying, you know what I'm saying, getting motivation from other people such as yourself, you know what I mean? Like, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, bro, you really about to have me, like, get back to DJing for real because...
That's how it's supposed to be, son. That's how it's supposed to be. Man, call me anytime, man. Call me anytime.
I'm going to lock you in.
Yeah, you got my number, man. Call me anytime, man.
I'm a lucky man.
Talk shit or whatever.
But
I'm a down-to-earth dude, man. That's it.
And before we close out the podcast, you got any shout-outs?
Yo, I want to shout out, you know what I'm saying? It's so many people, man. You know what? I'm not even going to say no names because if I miss one person, then they're going to be like, you know, they're going to feel some type of way. So, yo, just shout-out to all my day ones. Shout out to everybody that rocks with DJ TKO. Shout out to all the fans that listen to my mixtapes, my radio shows, my beats, everything. Shout out to yourself. That's it. I ain't naming nobody.
Yeah,
I don't want no phone calls or nothing. Yo, T, you didn't shout me out. Nope. I'm good.
Yeah, man. Like I said, thank you for coming on the show again, dog. Yo,
thank you, brother.
You got to come back on the show. Hopefully it could be in person. Like, I come up there, you come down here, however, you know.
All right, cool, man. I'm with it, man. Lock me in. Thank you.
I got you, no problem. And this has been your boy, DJ Anonymous, with another episode of Sports Biz Music, the podcast with DJ TKO. And we out. Peace.